So the last shiur on Yud Beis Amud Beis, we discussed the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda about the following scenario. Most of Klal Yisrael have become Tomei, or we can anticipate they will become Tomei. Let's say the Nasi dies and we have to get everybody out there for the funeral, and it means that's going to interfere with the Korban Pesach. When a person brings a Korban Pesach, he has to be in a state of Tahara. However, the exception to that rule is when the Klal, when the community itself is Tomei. That means most of the Jewish people have contracted Tumah. In that case, we have a principle called Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. The Torah is Matir to bring the Korban Pesach, even B'Tumah. But comes along Rabbi Yehuda and he says, you know what, instead of messing this up by bringing the Korban B'Tumah, I have a better option. Let's be Ma'abra the Shana, and therefore we added Adar Sheni and postponed the Korban Pesach by 1 month, and during that extra month we'll have plenty of time to guarantee that everyone is Matir themselves. So why bring the Korban B'Tumah when you have a better option, and that is to be Ma'abra the Shana? So Rabbi Yehuda, in a case of Tumah, even though technically even Rabbi Yehuda understands that we could bring the Korban on the 14th of Nisan, Bismano, but nevertheless, that's Betumah. That's gekvetched. You know, that's really not what we're happy with. If we can avoid having to violate the Korban Betumah and we can do it in a better way, then that's what we should do. And I have a better option for you. That's called Ibur Shana. Add an extra Adar, and everybody will become Tar during that extra Adar, and we can bring the Korban Pesach B'Tara. Why do it B'Tumah? And that's called Tumah D'Chuya B'Tzibur. Should I write that down? D'Chuya, right? I don't have a thing right now, but you know, everything is upside down, so just write the word D'Chuya. Dalet Ches Vav Yud He. Dalet Ches Vav Yud He. Dechuya means, you know, that Bekoshi Hetiru. It's not. We look for other options if we can find any, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda advocates Ibur Shana. However, the Chachamim say no. Most of the tzibur in this case is tamei. We'll bring the Korban B'Tumah. That's called Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, not Dechuya B'Tzibur, but Hutra B'Tzibur. This is the way the Torah advocates that we bring the Korban B'Tumah. Why push yourself to do an Ibur Shana when you have an option of activating the principle of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur? And that's exactly what we're going to do. Now, please remember the last thing that we discussed on Thursday was Chizkiyah. I should say Chizkiyahu, right? Because Chizkiyah is a little confusing. That's the name of an Amor. I'm talking about Melech, the Melech B'Yisrael Chizkiyahu. And what he did was, he faced exactly this situation where Rov the Tzibur was Tameh. And what he did was, he was Ma'abra the Shana, which sounds like good news for Rabbi Yehuda, but yet, Bikesh Rachmim al Atzmo. He's going to ask for Rachamim. He's going to ask Hashem for being Mochel him, because he realized that he made a big boo-boo. He made a mistake by being Ma'abra the Shana. He should have advocated that they bring the Korban B'Tumah. Now that's a little bit odd that Rabbi Yehuda quotes the story, the episode of Chizkiyahu HaMelech as a proof that Ma'abra is Hashana, when Chizkiyahu HaMelech had regrets afterwards for going in and doing that. And he asked Hashem for Kapara. And that's what our sugya is going to address. But before that, the Gemara is going to address the question of what Rabbi Yehuda holds about Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur or Dechuya B'Tzibur. So we're up to Amar Mar. Let's open up to, I think it's about line 7, if somebody could count it from the top, to 7 lines down from the top. And the first word in the line is Sheni, and then you'll see 2 dots. So we're up to Amar Mar. And as you know, Amar Mar always means we're going to quote something that was originally quoted, but now we want to analyze it. So we had a brisa in which Rabbi Yehuda is quoted as saying Ma'abrim, that in the case where most of the people are Tomei, instead of bringing the Korban B'Tumah, which technically we're allowed to do, we look for a better option. and that is Ibur Shana, by adding an extra month. Alma, we see the Islay of Yehuda in the famous controversy about what how does the Torah view bringing a carbon betumah? Is that only, you know, like a fallback position that's called dechuya, or is it a lechatchil? It's the best thing because hutra. Is Islay Rabbi Yehuda Tuma Dechuya Hibetzibur, and that's why, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda advocates in favor of what? Rabbi Osai? Ibur Shana. Do you follow? Again, there are two options here. You can either bring the carbon betuma, or you can add an extra month. That's called Ibur Shana. Which option does Rabbi Yehuda advocate? Excellent. Ibur Shana. It means that Tuma is Dechuya Hibetzibur. Dechuya means that a blessed prayer, if you have no choice and you have no other option, then you'll bring the carbon betuma. But if you have another way out, if it's Eshel Akrivo Betara, that's exactly what we're going to do. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda advocates in favor of Ibur Shana, because if you add an extra month, that'll give them ample time to be mitar themselves to bring the carbon mitara.
Is this his preferred route?
Preferred?
Is this his preferred approach?
Right, so let me go over it again, because I see I'm not, for some reason, I'm not...
Why did Bekoshi?
No, Bekoshi hitiru lakrivo bituma. Again, Dechuya means that we will Bekoshi, Dechuya means we Bekoshi bring the carbon bituma. Bekoshi means if there's no other option, we'll have to bring it when everybody is tummy. If you have another option, then that option is the preferred option. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda advocates doing what, Rabbi Osai? Ibur Shana, by adding a month. If you add a month, you circumvent the need for bringing bituma. Because tuma is Dechuya bitzibur. Dechuya means it's only a fallback. Less brera if there's no choice. Worst option. What else can I say? I'm looking for other. but you get the point, I think. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
I wasn't here on Thursday, so if you covered it on Thursday, I'll go back and listen. But at what point, if you're adding an extra adar, right, and we're looking to Ibur Shana for Nisan, so at what point do we know that most of the community is Tuma?
So Rashi says that the Nasi is very ill, the doctors gave him X amount of time to live, and they predict that in a week from today he's going to die. So that would mean that if everybody goes to the funeral, then they'll all be Tuma when it comes to the 14th of Nisan. I think we had another option. Let me just see if I remember. Oh yeah, Rashi had another possibility. Oh yeah. So this is two lines above the end of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. You have a way of turning back to Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Yeah. So look at Rashi at the end of the page, but two lines up from the bottom. And Rashi invokes a sugya navodah zarah. The Gemara navodah zarah says that there's something called tuma of avodah zarah. And this is a wild kind of concept. And Don, you as a Kohen, and again, it's probably not going to be relevant to you, but you should know about it because it's something relevant to a Kohen.
Let's have a little face.
If a person, a Jew, would worship an idol, then he contracts tuma. Just idolatry itself is metame. Again, you know, Kohenim have to know the laws of tuma v'tara. Nowhere in the laws of tuma v'tara can you justify this halacha. In fact, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah vacillates back and forth whether this is a Doraisa or it's a Darabonon. But in any event, the bottom line is, and this is established by the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that Avodah Zarah mitames kitumas mes, that worshipping an idol has the same, contracts the same tumor. Again, did he have common contact with any dead body? Was there a sheretz? Garnished. But the very act of Avodah Zarah generates tumor kitumas mes, which means that he needs 7 days of Tara, and then he has to go to Mikvah, he eats Hazav, Shlishi, Shvi, and the whole 9 yards. So Achaz, who is the father of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, allowed and possibly even encouraged Avodah Zarah. This is the kingship. This has to do with Korban Bayis Rishon that we commemorated yesterday. Of course, one of the three cardinal sins for which the Jews were guilty was Avodah Zarah. When Achav died and his son Chizkiyahu took over, he tried to rid the entire land of Israel of any vestige of Avodah Zarah. Now, one thing he knew was that the people of Israel, unfortunately, at that stage, could not bring the Korban Pesach because they didn't have enough time when he took over the Malchus to be metayer themselves from Tumas Avodah Zarah. So in any event, what do we do in a case when there's no possibility of bringing the Korban Betara because Rov Yisrael Atmeim? So Rabbi Yehuda says, Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur. If there's no other choice, that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to bring the Korban Pesach B'tumah. But here there's another choice. All they have to do is add what? Another month of Adar that gives them ample time to be Matar themselves. So again, what you have to have on your scoreboard here is the following, that we derive from Rabbi Yehuda Ma'arimes Hashana that Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur. You have it? And therefore we're going to look for any other option. Now what the Gemara is going to do is quote a Braisa which indicates that Rabbi Yehuda holds Tuma Hutra B'tzibur, and that's going to be the contradiction. Now what does that mean, that Tuma Hutra B'tzibur? What that means is that if Rov Yisrael Atmeim, then we don't have to look for any other option to circumvent the bringing of the Karba Betuma. We will, in fact, advocate bringing the Karba Betuma. That's not a Bekoshi Hitiru. That's Hutra. Hutra means that's Lechatchi. That's the way that the Torah wants you to go. And that's going to be ultimately the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, which we're going to establish based on the following Braisa. Now, this Braisa addresses a different issue. And that's the issue of tzitz. The tzitz was worn on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol during the entire year. In fact, the Gemara establishes in Yuma that he would wear the tzitz even when he was not involved in the Avodah. So, Bein B'shas Avodah, Ubein Shalo B'shas Avodah, Tamid, Hoya HaTzitz B'mitzcho. With one exception. And that's Yom HaKippurim. In Yom HaKippurim, when he did the Avodah Lifnai V'Lifnim in the Kodesh Kadoshim, he changed his begadim from Big Day Zahav. One of the Big Day Zahav of the Kohen Gadol was the Tzitz. And instead he donned Big Day Lavan. Big Day Lavan did not have a Tzitz. So he goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim without the Tzitz. And this, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah establishes based on a principle called, I don't know if you're familiar with this, Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. That we don't go into the Kodesh Kadosh with gold, because gold is reminiscent of the Chet HaEgel, and that's not the place where you want to show off your gold. Not in the Kodesh Kadosh. No way, no how. So the Torah advocates that he has to wear Big Day Lavan. Big Day Lavan, which are made of basically linen garments. They had no, there was no gold, there was no tzitz. And he went in Lifnai V'Lifnim. Now, the problem is that the tzitz is very critical. And we're really stuck between a rock and a hard place. On the one hand, the Kohen Gadol clearly went in Lifnai V'Lifnim without the tzitz. But on the other hand, we need the tzitz. It's really critical. Why? Because the tzitz has a power of kapara that works even for a karban tame. In other words, let's say, for example, you are magdish a karban, the animal contracted tuma. In such a case, you can't bring the karban unless there's a tzitz. If there's a tzitz, the tzitz has a power that the mizbeach doesn't have. It can effectuate a kapara even for a karban tame. And on Yom HaKippurim of all days, we certainly need desperately the tzitz to be mechaper, otherwise known as being meratzeh, for tumah, for a karban v'tumah. I mean, after all, you know, any possibilities have to be taken into consideration. So Rabbi Shimon the Tana says we have to reconcile this by assuming that the tzitz is meratzeh, even when the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz. Again, it's not relevant. All year round, the Kohen Gadol is always wearing the tzitz. But on one particular day, during a few moments in the service, the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz. How could that be? He's going in to Lifnai V'Lifnim, he's going into the Kodesh Kadoshim, he's going to do various very important activities there, including Hazah, and including Haktoras Haktores and all sorts of things, and he's not wearing the tzitz. What's going to be Maratza? What's going to be Mechaper for the Tumah, for the case of a Korban Tameh? So the answer is, says Rabbi Shimon, a radical conclusion. The very existence of the tzitz generates kapar, whether it's worn by the Kohen Gadol or it's not worn by the Kohen Gadol. So let's see this inside. Vasani, we learned in a Braisa, and the Braisa first quotes Rabbi Shimon, tzitz. Bein sheyeshna al mitzcho, u bein sheyeno al mitzcho meratze. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says it must be that the tzitz is meratze even when the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz. Otherwise, we're really in deep trouble with Yom HaKippurim. Because in Yom HaKippurim, he's not wearing the tzitz. He's wearing Big Day Lavan. And yet, for sure, we critically need the ritzui of the tzitz for all karbonos that are brought bituma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Oh, do al mitzcho maratza. Eino do al mitzcho eino maratza. If he's not wearing the tzitz on his forehead, then it's not maratza. The ritzui tzitz is b'toras Big Day Kahuna. It's not a separate entity of ritzui that's inherent in the tzitz itself. It's only inherent in the tzitz insofar as it's Big Day Kahuna b'shas levisha. Amalo Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon turns to Rabbi Yehuda and he says, "How can you tell me that it's that's not on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol is not maratza? Is a Kohen Gadol b'yom HaKippurim yochiach she'eino al mitzcho?" In the case of a Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, when he goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim, he's wearing Big Day Lavan. And when he wears Big Day Lavan, he's not wearing the tzitz. And the reason for that, as we mentioned before, is Ein Kategor, Nasa Sanegor, he can't bring the gold into the Kodesh Kadoshim. Now the word Vir really means V'yafal Pichein, and even so, Meratza. Nevertheless, if there was Tumah in one of the Karbonos that they have to bring on Yom HaKippurim, contracted Tumah, then there's ritzui. How could there be ritzui if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz? I mean, Bishlei Melishi Tosi, Rav Shimon would say, I'm okay, because I hold the tzitz as maratza. That's something inherent in the tzitz, no matter whether it's worn on the fire or it's not worn on the fire. You, Rav, you hold that the tzitz, if it's not worn on the fire, it's not maratza. Well, how could it be maratza on Yom HaKippurim if there's tumah in one of the karbonos? If the Kohen Gadol is wearing Big Day Lavan, he's not wearing his tzitz al mitzcho. Now, here in the footnote, he says, "Hadinu shekol karbonos hatzibur shezmanom kavua dochem es hatumah." We know that any karbon that's brought on a specific time period is brought in bitumah. And Rabbi Shimon holds that Tumah Dechuyah Hi B'Tzibur. In other words, you need a kapara for a karban that's brought B'Tumah, even if it has a Zman Kavua. So you must conclude, therefore, that the Tzitz is Meratzah, otherwise the karbanos couldn't be Ksherim on Yom HaKippurim, because the Tzitz is not being worn by the Kohen Gadol. Now, excuse me, when we say that a karban that's brought B'Tumah is it desperately needs the tzitz to be maratza, I'm not sure if that's what Rashi is learning here, because let's take a look for a moment here at a Rashi Dibra Maskil Ben. Okay, well, first let's locate the Rashi. It's about 10 lines down from the top of the page. Do you see where the word Ben Sheyeshnal Metzach appears in Rashi? Yeah, you have that? So it's, Rashi says, Kohen Gadol b'shas tumah. In other words, according to... Again, Rabbi Olsai, keep in mind that the question that we're now addressing has nothing to do with Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda are going to argue what's the status of the tzitz when it's not on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. But let's just talk about a classic case. Let's say the tzitz is being worn by the Kohen Gadol on his forehead. We say that the tzitz is meratza ala tuma. What does that mean, ala tuma? So let me read to you a different version of this Rashi. Chas shalom. I'm not changing the version of the Rashi, but I want to just for pedagogic purposes to clarify why Rashi is saying something different. I'll tell you what should have been written in Rashi, and this is what it says in the Yad Ramah. And that is that tzitzis meratza bishas havas korban b'tuma. Let me explain. There are two critical moments of tuma. One is the moment in which the animal contracts tuma. Let's say a sheretz falls on the animal, whatever it is. And then there's a moment in which the carbon is actually brought on the mizbeach. I mean, those two events could happen a month apart. I don't know how long apart. Do you follow me? Now, we're going to analyze Rashi by reading the words of Rashi, but let's first hear the way the Yad Ramah understands the Gemara. The Gemara and the principle of Tumah of the tzitz maratzal atuma means that if the karbon is tame at the moment of avas hakarbon, then the tzitz, which according to Rav Shimon is maratzah even if it's not worn, but let's say according to Rav Yehuda it's being worn now on the fire of the Kohen Gadol, that's maratzah. It offers a kapara pouch to this karbon, even though at this moment when we're being makriv of the karbon, let's say we do the zrikas hakarbon, the zrikas adam, the karbon is tame. That's the power of the tzitz. But let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, not b'shas hakrova, but Rashi says b'shas tumah. What does that sound like, b'shas tumah?
It's brought.
No. You're missing my point. If Rashi meant that at the moment it's brought, he would have said b'shas havas hakarman b'tumah. He leaves out those critical words which the Yad Ramah fills in. Havas hakarba b'tumah. When the Kohen is doing the zrika, the animal which is being brought on the mizbeach is tame. How could you be maratza? How can you gain kapara from an animal that's tame? With all the respect, it's a carbon, but it's tame. And the answer is because the tzitz is maratza la tumah. That's the way the Yad Ramah learns this. But Rashi says, b'shas tumah. What does that mean, b'shas tumah?
When it first became tumor.
Correct, when it contracted tumor. Rashi says that the tzitz, in a sense, nips it in the bud. Isn't there a phrase like that in English?
Yes.
Well, what's it called, to nip it in the bud?
Yeah.
It nips the tumor in the bud, meaning that at that moment that the animal was contracting tumor, the tzitz which is being worn by the Kohen Gadol, or according to Shimon, if it's not worn by, the tzitz is maratz, it means it's as if the tumor evaporates. As far as karbonos are concerned, there is no tumah. It's almost as if he brought a carbon tar. Whereas the Yad Ramah's pshat is much more straightforward. It's not b'shas tumah, i.e., when it contracted the tumah. The ritzui is b'shas havah the tumah. The moment that it contracts tumah is irrelevant. That doesn't. It's not on the radar screen. We want to know when you bring a carbon and the carbon is tameh, where that carbon could be mechaper, whether it's maratz and it's a valid carbon. That depends upon the tzitz. But the critical moment to determine whether the tzitz is maratz, says the Yad Ramah, is the moment in which you bring the carbon on the mizbeach. Can you bring the carbon, be makriv the carbon, bituma? And the answer is yes, because of the power of the tzitz. Rashi, on the other hand, seems to indicate here that that the tzitz has a ritzui power that goes all the way back to the source, to the root, to the moment that it contracts tumah, way before the akrovas hakarbon. I don't know what forced Rashi into that position. I'm just mentioning this thing because I'm going to learn this sugya the way the Yad Ramah learns this sugya. I think that's the intuitive, simple, straightforward way of learning that tzitz is maratza, carbon bitumen means shas havas hakarbon, the carbon is tameh, and yet the tzitz is maratza. Now again, you'll ask me, why didn't Reb Shimon quote a case the rest of the year? Forget about Yom HaKippur as a proof. Even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz, there is ritzui for karbonos b'tumah. And the answer is because the whole year the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz. And he never takes off the tzitz. And even Shalom B'Shas Avoda, so 24/7 he's wearing the tzitz. And therefore there's never going to be an issue of, well, could the tzitz be maratza when it's Eino Al Mitzcho? What do you mean it's Eino Al Mitzcho? Eino Dal Mitzcho? There's no such mitzias as Eino Dal Mitzcho. Ah, there is a mitzias. One day in the year there's a mitzias of Tzitz Eino Al Mitzcho. When's that? Yom HaKippurim. When he goes Lifnayim Lifnim. So how are we going to achieve the Kapara power of Tzitz Meratz if he's not wearing on his head, on his forehead? And the answer is, says Reb Shimon, that the Tzitz is Meratz unto itself, even without being Odo Al Mitzcho. Amalo Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, leave out the case of Yom Kippur, there's no proof.
Was it kept in a special place? I mean,
say it again?
In Yom Kippur, was it kept in a special place at least, or was it just L'Havdil in his duffel bag?
Where did he keep the tzitzis?
Yeah, I mean, that it had such power that you think there would still have to be...
I don't know. I think anywhere in the face of the universe, I think that should be enough.
Okay,
all right. I mean, maybe if there's... I don't know. You got to learn about chatzitzis. I don't know. But Pashim Shah. So Amalo Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says you have no proof from Yom HaKippurim. Hanachli Yom HaKippurim. Says Rabbi Yehuda, what's common to all the korbanos that are brought on Yom HaKippurim? You remember that we said that a korban has to be brought at a special time period, right? Let's say, for example, if I bring a chatos or an osham or an ola, that doesn't have a specific time period. But what we mean by korban tzibur here is that the korban has to be brought at a specific time period. Generally speaking, when you have a korban that's incumbent upon a tzibur, like for example the korban tamid or the korban pesach, that korban has a specific time period. It's time related. This is very similar to the idea that we have by as women. What mitzvahs are women exempt from? Do you remember that? Zman groma, right? If there's a time period, then there's such a thing as a korban which is a zman groma. It has a zman kavua, a specific time. There are other korbanos which, whenever you bring them, it depends on when you bring them. But there's no calendar date. What's common to all the korbanos of Yom HaKippur, they're all called a korban tzibur. Why? Because a korban tzibur means a korban that's brought at a specific time period. These are special, unique korbanos that are brought on Yom HaKippur. For example, the Kohen Gadol himself brings his own par, which is called Parashal Kohen Gadol. That's called a Korban Tzibur, even though it's really technically a Korban Yachid, but it's called a Korban Tzibur as far as Tumah is concerned, because it has a specific time period. The Parashal Kohen Gadol has to be brought on Yom HaKippur. We can have a Korban Tzibur that doesn't even have a time period. For example, there's something called a Paraheling Dovrishal Tzibur. If most of the Tzibur violated a Chiv Kares because they got the wrong verdict that was mistakenly handed down by the Beis Din, that's a Korban Tzibur. But as far as our consideration is concerned, it's not a Korban Tzibur because it has no Zman Kavua. So when we talk about the difference between a Korban Tzibur and a Korban Yachid, don't get confused here. We're not using the classic... You know, the classic definition of korban tzibur versus korban yachid. You can have a korban yachid that's a korban tzibur in this context. Like, for example, korban pesach is a korban yachid. Every individual is chayv in a korban pesach. It's not a communal korban. But as far as our discussion is concerned, it's called a korban tzibur. Korban tzibur means yesh lo zman kavua.
So in this case, it's not that the tzibur is tamei, it's that the... Because it's a korban tzibur.
Which means here what? Again, strike out the word tzibur, it means yesh lo zman kavua.
Okay. So the korban becomes tamei, or is tamei, but because...
And
he's arguing because it's a communal...
Communal here means that it has zman kavua. Otherwise we're going to get fluked up, you know.
Okay, yeah. So it's
very... Yeah, if I were you, again, I don't know if you can do it on the computer, but I would cross out the word tzibur here and instead write zman kavua, just so you shouldn't get confused. Now, all the korbanos of Yom HaKippurim are all korbanos sheyesh lahem zman kavua. Every single last one of them. And regarding those korbanos that have a zman kavua, we have a principle called hutra, tuma hutra. But if you have a korban that doesn't have a zman kavua, which in the Gemara's language now is called a korban yachid, then we don't have this principle of tuma hutra. Then we really desperately need the tzitz. And according to Avuda, where is the tzitz in order to be mechaper and be maratza on a korban yachid bituma? It's got to be where, Rabosai? Be odo al mitzcho. Get the language straight. So you talk like a language. Because otherwise they're going to meet you on the street and they can say, oh, whose class are you in? Oh, I learned with Rabbi Burns on it. You don't talk like a lambda, it's going to be a bad reflection on me. So it's for Odo al Mitzcho. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't need Odo al Mitzcho in the case of a korban like Yom HaKippurim, which Yesh lo Zman Kavua, because in this case we apply the principle of what? Hutra. Hutra means that we can bring the korban bituma. Irrelevant to tzitz. Tzitz is a way of circumventing Tumah. I don't have to circumvent Tumah. Why? Because of Hutra. Does everybody see that word Hutra? Please underline in bold, you know, put every color in the rainbow on the word Hutra here. Hutra means I don't have to be bothered by finding a method of being Matar the carbon, of being Mechaper. It's a din of Hutra. The Torah says that a carbon that has its man kavu should be brought for Tumah, period. Do I need the tzitz to be meratza? I don't need the tzitz to be meratza. It happens to be that all the korbanos of Yom HaKippurim, every last one of them, are korbanos that have Zman Kavua. Hence, they brought Yom Kippur. That's Zman Kavua. In such a case, Hutra. And my plot of principle of Hutra, I don't need what? I don't need the tzitz. So therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, don't bring me any proofs, Rabbi Shimon, from Yom HaKippurim, where the Kohen Gadol goes with Naivu Lefnim, Big Day Love, and he's not wearing the tzitz al mitzvah. It doesn't matter. I don't need tzitz al mitzvah. Because it's a kavuah's man, and therefore it's Hutra. And if it's Hutra, I don't need the tzitz. The Torah says, go ahead and bring this carbon, even if it's Tavid. How many people follow the word that I said? Yeah, I'm ranting here like a madman, and I don't know if anybody follows me. By show of hands, we have one hand going, and not even one.
Half.
We have half, another half, a third half. Altogether, we have about five halves. That doesn't make me very happy. Again, what we're saying is the following. There's something called Hutra. Hutra means that the Torah tells you Tumah is irrelevant. That's what Hutra means. You want to bring a carbon. In certain cases, says Rabbi Yehuda, we'll explain what cases they are, we're going to apply the principle of Hutra. If we apply the principle of Hutra, we don't have to worry about Tumah. Why? Because Hutra means Tumah is irrelevant. Bring the carbon to Tumah. What cases fit into that category of Hutra? Says Rabbi Yehuda, any case of a carbon that has a Zman Kavua. Now, if you follow me till now, tell me when I lose you. Rabbi Shimon says, I can prove to you that the tzitz is powerful and effective to turn Tumah into Tara, as far as Kohanim are concerned, even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz. I'll prove it to you from what? That's not good. If I didn't get a quick response, that's not good news. Again, Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to prove to you that the tzitz has an inherent power to convert Tumah into Tara as far as Mizbeach is concerned, even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tzitz al mitzvah. How does Rav Shimon prove that, Rabbosai? From Yom HaKippurim. I got to start from scratch. Don't get frustrated. It's the day after Tisha B'Av. We're going to pick this up and we're going to get it straight. Okay, then? What happens on Yom HaKippurim? The Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim wearing Big Day Lavan. Tell me where I lose you. Does Big Day Lavan have its tzitz?
No.
So he's going in Lifnai V'Lifnim on Yom HaKippurim without a tzitz. Says Rabbi Shimon, what's going to be if one of those korbanos, and there are many korbanos that have to be brought on Yom HaKippurim, if heaven forbid, one of them is Tameh? And now the Kohen Gadol is not wearing his tzitz.
The tzitz will still fix it.
No.
Says Rabbi Shimon, because the tzitz has an inherent power of kapara, of risui. Inherent means wherever it is on the face of the earth, even if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing it. Because if Rabbi Yehuda are right, that tzitz is only maratza biodo al mitzcho, then how do we achieve all the korbanos of Yom HaKippurim through the Kohen Gadol who's walking into the Kodesh Kedoshim without the tzitz, if they're tameh, if any of those korbanos are tameh, we're in deep, deep trouble. Because according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, you have a serious tumah problem here, and you can't solve that problem by saying tzitz. Tzitz is not going to be a solution for you on Yom HaKippurim when the Kohen Gadol is not wearing his tzitz, because you hold that tzitz is only meratz, it's ba'odo al mitzchah, and a Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim is not wearing the tzitz al mitzchah. Instead, he's wearing Big Day Lavan. So now I'm going to ask my question again, and maybe this time you'll give me the right answer. How does Rav Shimon prove from one day of the year that tzitz is meratza even if it's not al mitzchah? What day of the year?
Yom Kippur.
Bosh, you saved me. Guys, I owe you one big time. I'm not going to pay you back on Yom Kippur because I can't buy pizza for you on Yom Kippur.
Says
Rabbi Yehuda, there is no tumah problem on Yom Kippur. You want to solve the problem of tumah on Yom Kippur if one of the korbanos contracted tumah with what? With tzitz. And you're going to prove to me that tzitz is meratzah even if it's eino al mitzvah. No, there's no problem of tumah on the korbanos of Yom Kippur. Because what is common to all the korbanos of Yom Kippurim, if you get this right, I'll be very happy. They are all Zmanam Kavua. Can you add that to your page over here? Zmanam Kavua. Who tells you that all the Karbanos of Yom Kippurim are Zmanam Kavua? But Berzon told you that? Forget about Berzon.
Because it's Yom Kippur.
Because Yom Kippur. These are unique Karbanos that are brought one time of the year. And they are Zmanam Kavua. Says Rabbi Yehuda, with regard to Zman Kavua, forget about Tumah Vitar. There's no problem, there's no headache. Tumah doesn't irritate me. Because I have a key word here which I asked you to color in every color of the rainbow. What's that?
Hutra.
And if it's Hutra, then the Torah says if you have a carbon that's Tumah, bring it with Tumah. I don't need any tzitz over here. So whereas Reb Shimon applies the principle of Tumah Dechuya, and therefore I need some sort of power to convert the Tumah into Tara, you'll have to be Mechaper, even in the case of a Korban Tumah, the only answer could be what? Tzitz. And yet the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the Tzitz Feistais. We learn from this that Tzitz is Meratza even below Odal Mitzchah. Comes along Reb Yudhi, says, what are you talking about? There's no problem of Tumah on Yom Kippur. Let every single carbon of Yom Kippur be Tummy. It wouldn't faze me one iota because Tumah Hutra in the case of a carbon sheesh lo zman kavua.
Rabbi Yehuda says the whole process is just trump the fact that it's Yom Kippur and you don't have to worry about the tzitz. Just the fact that it's Yom Kippur and every korban is
yesh lo zman kavua.
The tzitz don't even come into play, basically.
Correct. I'll tell you why tzitz doesn't come into play, because Tumah doesn't come into play. And that's called Hutra. Hutra means the Torah tells you don't pay any attention to X, Y, or Z. What is X, Y, or Z? In every context, it's different. So, for example, if I were to tell you that Pikuach Nefesh is Hutra, so for the sake of a Chola, I'm going to violate Yom HaKippur, or violate the right to give food to eat, or I'm going to violate Shabbos. What does that mean? Does that mean that the Torah is saying you're violating an Isur? Or is the Torah telling you that in the case of Pikuach Nefesh, forget about Isurim, there are no Isurim in Pikuach Nefesh. There's no Isur here. Get the Gadol Hador to violate the Shabbos for you. And don't try to look away as if, you know, of doing it inside out and upside down. That's called Hutra. In our discussion, Hutra means that there's no Tumah. Tumah doesn't even play a role. It's not on the radar screen. A carbon can be brought to Tumah as long as it's a Zman Kavua. Because once it's a Zman Kavua, the Torah says bring the carbon in its time, whether it's Tummy or it's Tar, that's called Hutra. Well, wait a second. Let's go back to our case of Ibur Shana. And we said that there are two options. Rov HaTzibur HaTmein. And it's time for the Korban Pesach. We have two options. Option number one is let's bring the Korban B'Tumah. Option number two is no. Let's look for a better way of doing it, avoiding Tumah, and let's be Ma'arav the Shonen and add a month of Adar. What was Rav Yehuda's position?
Do it now.
It's okay, Jerry. It's all right.
I'll tell you why. I'm saying it because you see, he says Hutra.
Oh well, wait a minute. You know, you're trying to make Rabbi Yehuda consistent. The Gemara is trying to present a problem and present a contradiction, an irreconcilable contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yehuda. But for this, you shouldn't look at me in the face. Go back to the Gemara and look inside. Omar Ma, remember we started with the two dots, it was about nine lines down from the top? What does it say over there? Omar Ma, in the case where Rov HaTzibur HaTmeim, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Omar Ma is reference to Rabbi Yehuda. Ma'abra, what does Ma'abra mean?
Ma'abra Shana.
Did Rabbi Yehuda say, just bring the carbon bitumah? What do I care? No, that's not what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda said, I am going to advocate in favor of Ibrushan to find a solution to circumvent bringing the carbon bituma. Is he operating with Dechuya or with Hutra?
Dechuya.
Dechuya means that if there's no choice, as I call it, the less brayer, you know, I use phrases and I don't even know if you know what they mean, but I'm assuming you know what less brayer means. If there's no choice, then we'll bring the carbon bituma. But if we have another choice, and as a way of avoiding bringing the carbon to him, then you have to avail yourself of that other option. In this case, I have a great option. Just add another Ador and everybody will be Tor. No need to bring the carbon bituma. If he's doing some stolts in the air to try to circumvent the problem of tuma, it means that he holds the chuya. And yet, and here Jerry is where the theory is, Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of the price of tzitz, was maintaining that if there's a carbon that has a zman kavua, then we apply the principle of hutra. Hence, we don't even need the tzitz, because there's no tumah issue at all. Well, if there's no tumah issue at all, why is Rav Yehuda advocating that for the sake of the carbon pesach b'tara, we have to add another month of Adar? Why are you adding another month of Adar if you hold hutra? If you hold hutra, be consistent, be a man, live up to your principles. Right? And if you're living up to your principles, then you don't have to add another month to the year, drive everyone in Klal Yisrael crazy by adding another Adar. What do you need that for? Just bring the carbon bituma. There is no tuma. Why? Because you maintain the position of Hutra. Ah, the answer is Rabbi Yehuda apparently holds Dechuya. So what are you going to do with Rabbi Yehuda this price who holds Hutra?
Contradiction.
And Rabbi Holtzai, this contradiction is so profound that it's going to force the Gemara to rewrite the whole text of the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda didn't say Ma'abrim, he said Ein Ma'abrim. I'm giving you a preview of coming attractions just to show you how profoundly impacted the Gemara is by this stira. So profoundly impacted that the Gemara is going to have to rewrite the whole text. We've been assuming from square one that Rabbi Yehuda was the one who advocated Ibur Shana in order to avoid bringing the Korban Pesach Bituma. Nay, Rabbi Yehuda, you have to rewrite the text. He holds Ein Ma'abrim. That's always not glatt. It's not, you know, it's not a simple matter to rewrite the text and from Ma'abrim to add one little word with three letters, Ein Ma'abrim. You understand what I mean? That's not a very, very comfortable thing, and we only do it in a case of absolute dire necessity.
The Korban Pesach is a Korban Zman Kavua.
Yes.
Same as a bonus on Yom Kippur.
And therefore, why not bring it B'tumah? Tumah is not an issue as far as Korban Pesach is concerned. As far as Korban Pesach is concerned, with the laws of Tumah V'Tara, Korban Pesach is like the Korbanos of Yom HaKippurim, and the law is Hutra. That's Rabbi Yehuda's position. So therefore, why are you scratching your head around your ear, scratching your ear around your head by saying, no, we have to be Ma'arim L'shana and not expects of Adar? Why are you doing such a thing? Why not just bring the Korban Bituma? There is no Tumah. The Torah doesn't blink about Tumah with regard to Korban Pesach. If Rov HaTzibur HaTmein. And that's called Hutra. So Rabbi Yehuda, you should have been consistent and you should have said Ein Ma'abrim.
Right.
And now the Gemara is going to prove that in fact Rabbi Yehuda holds Ein Ma'abrim, and we've been fooled the whole time. We've been duped into this. And I'll prove it to you from the Braisa itself. Remember that Rabbi Yehuda brought a proof from a certain king of Israel in a certain historical episode which is recorded in the Tanakh to prove his shita. Which Melech be Yisrael did he invoke?
Chizkiyahu.
Excellent, Chizkiyahu Melech, we're doing good. Chizkiyahu Melech faced the exact same situation where the rov of the tzibur with man, either because his father Achav had encouraged Avodah Zarah, or because the Nasi died, or was about to die, and nobody was tar. So therefore he said, let's add a month of Adar. But what happened later, Rabbi Osai?
Tshuva.
He did tshuva. Chizkiyahu Amel did tshuva. And he asked Hashem to be machater when he realized that he made a big mistake. Uh-huh. Why would Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Ma'abrim, invoke the proof from the episode of Chizkiyahu when Chizkiyahu proves the exact opposite. Chizkiyahu proves that he should not have been Ma'abra the Shana if Chizkiyahu was in effect in the same position, the same opinion as Rabbi Yehuda, the way we have it recorded at Brisa, that Rabbi Yehuda holds Ma'abrim, then Adarabba, Chizkiyahu Mel should have given himself a pat on the back and a prize for being Ma'abra the Shana to avoid bringing the Tumah, the Karma B'Tumah. Apparently, Chizkiyahu finally figured out, I mean, again, we don't know historically which Chachamim finally convinced him that he made an error, that he should not have been Ma'abra the Shana, he should have simply brought the Karbon in its time, because Tumah Hutra. So how could Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Ma'abra Mesashana, which means Tumah is Dechuya Itzalat Tzibur, and then turn around and bring Chizkiyahu HaMelech as a proof? That makes no sense. Ulitaymech, according to your understanding that Rabbi Yehuda holds that we should advocate Ibur Shana because he holds Dechuya, is then Tikshi Lecha Hi Gufa. You should ask yourself a question from the Brisa itself, because the way you have the text of the Brisa, it makes no sense. Rav Yehuda Omer Ma'abrim, and Omer Rav Yehuda Ma'isa B'chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda She'ibras Hashanam Ne'atumo Bikesh Rachmim Al Atzmo. And Bikesh Rachmim Al Atzmo means that he admitted his mistake. Well, according to Rav Yehuda, he didn't make any mistake. He should be awarded a prize for doing exactly what the halacha requires: avoid bringing the Karban Pesach B'tumah at all costs. And if you have another option, namely to be Ma'abra Lishana, that's the way I advocate you do. Name. Chizkiyahu was very upset with himself, and he did tshuva, asking Hashem for rachmim and kapara, because he made a big boo-boo, and he was Ma'abra Lishana when he shouldn't have been Ma'abra Lishana. Ella, but rather we have to rewrite the text. Chisurei mechzer of a hochi ktoni. Now again, you may be uncomfortable about this. Chisurei mechzer, the word's missing. A whole line is missing in the Mishnah, and that's going to change in this Brisa, excuse me, and that's going to change the whole meaning of the Brisa. You may be uncomfortable about that, but you shouldn't be uncomfortable about that. I'll tell you why. Because a Brisa is different than a Mishnah. Every single Brisa, by definition, is subject to suspicion, if you follow me. We don't know if it's authentic. We don't know if it's written in the proper way. That's why Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, when he organized the Mishnayos, he omitted the Brisas. Every Brisa has a little bit of a doubt about it, a doubt about its authenticity or its meticulous formulation. And that's called Chisurei Mechzer. Chisurei Mechzer means we have to rewrite the Brisa. V'hochi k'toni. Here's what we should read in the Brisa. Ein ma'arvim es hashonu mipnei atuma. This is the Tanakhama's view that if all, you know, in a situation where most of the tzibur is tomei, let's bring the Korban Pesach b'tumah, and we're not going to use Ibur Shana because we hold Hutra, and if it's Hutra, then why be Ma'abra the Shana? Just bring the Korban b'tumah, because rov the tzibur are tomei. In Ibruha, however, if the Beis Din went ahead and they added an extra month, Muberes, then that Ibur is valid, b'di'evet. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ain't a Muberes. Again, here we're changing the entire text from one extreme to the other. Rabbi Yehuda now is being recorded as arguing with the Tanakhama, because the Tanakhama said that I recognize the validity of the Ibur b'di'evet post facto, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, ain't a Muberes. The whole ganze business is completely invalid. We do not recognize and validate this Ibur Shana because Tumah Hutra Mitzibur. And if Tumah Hutra Mitzibur, there's no justification for Ibur. We can bring the carbon, even though most of the members of Klal Yisrael are Tomei. Now we'll bring the carbon Pesach because carbon Pesach has this man Kavua, and therefore it's Doche and Matir Tumah. Oh, if that be the case, we all Rabbi Yehuda, now I understand why Rabbi Yehuda invoked the episode of Chizkiyahu as a proof. Because Chizkiyahu went ahead, he was Ma'abra the Shana, and then he realized that he made a tremendous mistake. Because as a result of this mistake, the people brought the Korban Pesach 1 month too late. And that's not a good thing. In fact, it might even have impact on chametz, because they may have eaten chametz on Pesach itself. Why? Because the ibur is invalid. Does everybody have that? Rabbi Yehuda holds that even b'dieved, the ibur is invalid because tumah hutcha b'tzibur. There was no justification, there was no push in favor of ibur, and such an ibur is invalid.
Can we assume Rabbi Yehuda is a Tanayim?
Who?
Rabbi Yehuda is a Tanayim?
Yeah, he's a Tanayim. This talking about Rabbi Yehuda the Tanayim. Okay. There's Rav Yehuda without the Yud, right. Not Rabbi, but Rav. So he's an Amora.
Okay, so therefore he has the power to
argue with the, yeah. Right. The very fact that he's quoted in a Braisa means he's a Tana, and he argues against the Tana Kama. The Tana Kama says, all right, you know, Lechatchila, we shouldn't have used the Ibur, that wasn't a good idea, but with the Ebed, the Ibur is valid. You know, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to require, you know, undermining, changing the whole world. The Ibur was done, and it's valid. And Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? The Ibur for sure is not valid, and that's why Chizkiyahu HaMelech did tshuva, and he required a bakoshes rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive him for the sin of an Ibur shana that's not valid. And who knows what the repercussions of a non-valid Ibur shana is. Okay. Now the Gemara has a problem. Because in the original Brisa that we're analyzing now with this Chisuri Mechzera, there are three opinions in the Brisa. There's the opening opinion of Tanakama, differentiating between Lechatchil and B'dievet. We have the middle view of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even B'dievet is completely invalid. And then the Brisa quoted Rav Shimon, and that you'll see on the third line down from the top of the page, which we left out today because we did it on Thursday. Rav Shimon Omer, and now the Gemara quotes it again, Ihachi Rav Shimon Omer, Imipnei Atume Bruha, Me'uberes. What does that sound like? When he says Me'uberes, it's valid. Does that sound like Lechatchila or B'dievet? Me'uberes. It is valid. Does he say, A, and I advocate and recommend Ibur, or is he saying Me'uberes, it is valid if you went ahead and you did it? What does that sound like to you? It sounds like B'dievet, correct? He doesn't say Mipnei Atuma Yesh La'aber, you should go ahead and do Ibur. He says if they did it because of Tuma, you will look the other way and Me'uberes will validate it. It's Hainu Tanakama. Then we don't have a third Shita, because the way you formulated it, the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, the first two opinions in this Braisa, revolves around the B'dievet situation. The Chacham say B'dievet, we can validate the Ibur. We're not going to allow you to do it L'chatchila. And Rabbi Yehuda says that even B'dievet, we have to invalidate the Ibur, because Tumah Hutcha B'tzibur. Now, the Braisa quotes Rav Shimon as the third opinion. Rav Shimon is basically reiterating what the Chachamim said, that B'dievet, the Ibur is valid. But L'chatchila should be avoided. Amar Rava, L'chatchila Ika Beinayim. No. We have to reinterpret Rav Shimon now. The machlokis between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon is whether or not L'chatchila we should advocate in favor of Ibur Shana. If you recall, the Tanakam said that no, we're not going to advocate in favor of Ibur Shana. But the Eved will validate the Ibur, will recognize the post facto, let it go by. Rav Shimon went ahead and he went a step further and he said even L'chatchila we should be Ma'arba the Shana, because according to Rav Shimon, Tumah Dechuya B'tzibur, and if we can find another way of circumventing the bringing of the Karban B'tumah, that's what we have to do. We're not in a less brave situation, so therefore Rav Shimon would advocate even L'chatchila that you should be Ma'arba the Shana. So we have three shitas. We have Rav Shimon on one extreme, Rav Yehuda on the other polar extreme, whereas Rav Shimon says, let's advocate Ibur Shana, Rav Yehuda is going to say, no, there's no such thing as Ibur Shana, it's not even valid B'dievet. Then we have the middle Shita, which is the golden mean of the Chachamim in the Tanakama. They say the L'chatchila, we should not advocate in favor of Ibur, but B'dievet post facto, the Ibur is valid. Now the question is, so what do we do with the language of Rav Shimon? Right, the language of Rav Shimon is very misleading. Rav Shimon says in Mivnei Atumei Bruha, they went ahead and they were Ma'abrit, Mu'beres. Apparently he means b'di'evet. So the Yad Rama points out over here that the reason why Rabbi Shimon used the word me'uberes is because wedged in between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon came Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda used the terminology eina me'uberes. So once Rabbi Yehuda used the terminology eina me'uberes, Rabbi Shimon added me'uberes, but what he really meant is that l'chatchila, that's what they should do, because tuma dechuya b'tzibur, and therefore, if there's a way out, we can circumvent the problem of tuma. That's what we have to do. We have to be ma'abra the shona, and that's Rabbi Yehuda's, that's Rabbi Shimon's position. So again, if I was giving you a quiz on this Gemara, I'd ask you to summarize three shitas. Who can do that for me? According to Tanakhama?
I won't even try. I lost my other Jose.
No, but this way we can reinstate you if you get it right. Now we can reinstate you. Again, Rabosa, what I said is the following. Rav Shimon is one polar extreme, Rav Yehuda is the other polar extreme, the Tanakhama is right down the middle. What was Rav Yehuda's shita? You want to write this down? He advocated Ibur Shana even l'chatchila. Rav Yehuda's was the other extreme. He says that Ibur Shana not only is not to be advocated, but it's not even recognized and validated by the Evan. The Tanakhama is the middle shita, although Rav Yehuda's right, l'chatchila, if all things are equal in ideal sense, we're not going to advocate in favor of Ibur Shana, but nevertheless, by the Evan, it's valid. That would be 100 on a quiz. Tanya Nami Hochi, we also learned this in a Braisa. Ein ma'avrin es ha'shanim ne'ab tumah l'chatchila. This is the Tanakhama's view, that l'chatchila, we're not going to advocate in favor of Ibur Shana for the sake of tumah. We'll bring the karma b'tumah. However, b'di'evet, it's okay. Rav Shimon Omer ma'avrin. Even l'chatchila, we could go ahead and we should advocate in favor of Ibur Shana. Now Rav Shimon has to face the music. Because what are we going to do with Chizkiyahu HaMelech? Remember that Chizkiyahu HaMelech went ahead, he was Ma'arva the Shana. And that, l'chor, according to Rav Shimon, is exactly what he should have done.
But he reversed it.
But then he reversed his decision. And he was Mevakesh Racham in Malas.
So Rav Shimon goes down the...
Right, Rav Shimon is now in trouble with the episode of Chizkiyahu. So in this Braisa, we reinterpret the whole episode of Chizkiyah. Mipnei ma bikesh rachmel atzmo, and the answer is because ein ma'ashema abrim ela adar vehu iber nisan benisan. Rav Shimon is right that in this circumstance we should advocate in favor of Ibur, but on one condition. You can't add an extra Nisan. You could add an extra Adar. And what Chizkiyah did was he added an extra Nisan. Now, I hate to say it, but the Gemara is accusing Chizkiyah of being a total Amoritz. You know, and Chizkiyah was not an Amoritz. He was one of the greatest kings that we had. Omar Mar, we just had a Braisa. Ein ma'arvim es Ela Adar, we only had an extra month of Adar. Vehu, referring to Chizkiyah, Iber Nisan b'Nisan. It was already Nisan, and he added another month of Nisan. So basically, he pushed Nisan down by 1 month by adding another Nisan. Veleslei leChizkiyah, Chizkiyah doesn't know. Every child knows that it says in the pasuk Hachodesh Hazelachem, meaning that this month of Nisan has to be Nisan. V'ein achar Nisan, there's no other month that could be Nisan, meaning you can't add another month of Nisan. So the only possibility of Ibur Shana is to add a month of Adar. So you're telling me that Chizkiyah was such an ignoramus that he didn't know a pasuk in Chumash? He didn't realize that the only month that you could add is Adar? You can duplicate Adar, you cannot duplicate Nisan. So Gemara says, Ta'a b'dishmuel. The mistake of Chizkiyah was a very sophisticated error, very subtle kind of error, based on a unique halacha of Shmuel. So in order to appreciate Shmuel, let's go back to the basics. Every lunar month could be made up of either A or B number of days. What's A? 29. B? 30. If it's A, we call it a chaser. If it's B, we call it a molad. If it's A, then the 30th day of the month is the first day of the next month. And if it's B, meaning if it's a molad, then the 30th day is the last day of the month, the previous month, and then the 31st is the first day of the new month. Now, what happens if day 30 comes and goes by and there are no witnesses who saw the new moon? Then by definition, what happens to the previous month? It becomes a mole. Do you follow that? By default, if there's no witnesses and we cannot be Mekadosh the Chodesh on the 30th day, then by definition, we're going to have to push off the Kiddush HaChodesh and Rosh Chodesh will be on the 31st day, which means that the previous month was the 30th day. Now Shmuel addresses the following scenario. Adar, 29 days passed. Now it's the 30th day. Well, what is that day? Is that the last day of Adar because Adar is a mole? Or is it the first day of the next month? Well, the truth is at this moment in time we're in limbo. And it's up to Beis Din to decide if they have enough evidence or perhaps even reason to determine that this is the first day of the new month. So we're on the 30th day of Adar. And Beis Din is now facing a split in the road. What?
Crossroads.
Excellent. Crossroads. Beis Din now has two options. If they want to, they can determine that this day, day 30, is the first day of Nisan. Or they can say, let it go by and let it be the 30th day of Adar. So in the language of Shmuel, that's called Roy Lekovo Nisan. Roy means that it's really in the hands of Beis Din to decide whether they will establish that day as the first day of Nisan or not. Now the word Roy is a very heavy word throughout Shas. It's a laden word. You know, it's one of those, how do I describe it? You know, it's like a... It's got an extra power to it. It's called Roy. Roy means that there's something inherent for X to become Y, if you follow me. You know, it's Y hasn't yet emerged, but it's already Roy. So the X already, because it has the potential of becoming Y, it inherently has certain properties of Y. Like, for example, the Gemara says that normally when fruits grow in the field, it's called Karka. Because you cannot cut it down, you can't harvest it, it's premature, it hasn't grown to its full development. What happens after you harvest it? So if it's already fully developed, which you normal farming procedure, then he cuts it down, he harvests it, that's called metaltalin, that's not called karka. What about in that middle stage, where the fruits or the vegetables, whatever is growing, has already matured, it's ready for ktsira, for harvesting, but you haven't yet harvested. Is that called karka, or is that called metaltalin? And the Gemara calls that roi. Roi means that already, once it reaches its full maturity, it has the potential of being harvested, and it already takes on the status of metaltalin. Again, I'm not learning with you sugyas of shibudim and so forth, but I'm just giving an example. There are millions of examples of something that's called roi. In Kodshim, for example, the concept of Roy comes up over and over again. In mitzvot, also, you have the concept of Roy. Let's say, for example, you have a hadas, and it has too many berries on it. We discussed it here in this room a number of months ago. So all you have to do is cut off the berries. That hadas becomes Roy. It has a special bit of Roy. And that has the nafkamina l'gabi nidche, because if it's Roy, it's not nidche, or maybe if it's Roy, it is nidche. And that's called Dechiyah B'mitzvah. So anyway, I'm just giving you a tip of the iceberg. There's a concept called Roy. Shmuel applies this principle of Roy to the 30th day of the month of Adar. It's Roy to become the first day of Nisan. And in that sense, even though technically right now we haven't declared it as such, it's not the first day of Nisan right now, and Adar could extend for another day into day 30, meaning in a mole, but nevertheless, it's Roy. Roy means it has a shtickle, you know, a little bit of a shmeck of what? Of Nisan to it. And therefore, Shmuel says, Omer Shmuel, Ein ma'abrim es hashana biyom shloshim shal Adar. On the 30th day of Adar, we're not going to be ma'abrim the Chodesh. Why? Hoil the Roy Lekovo Nisan. It already has the status of Roy vis-a-vis the month of Nisan. The Iu Bachizkia Savar, he didn't realize this. Hoil the Roy Lam. You know, we don't apply the principle of Roy here. Right now, as far as we know, Bezdin has not determined that this, established that this day, third day 30th, is Nisan. So technically, it's not Nisan yet. Again, it's Roy to become Nisan. If Bezdin would decide, maybe Edom would come in or whatever the pressure would be. But right now, status quo, it could be considered as Adar. And then Afkamina is whether you can add another month of Adar. As long as we're within Adar, we can add another month. So the Shita of Chizkio was, in a sense, like that of Rabbi Shimon that we saw before, that in a case where we have a choice between bringing the Korban Pesach Betuma or adding another month of Adar, we should advocate in favor of adding a month of Adar. That's called Tuma Dechuya Betzibur. We can completely circumvent the problem of bringing the Korban Betuma. And it's still called Adar. Why? Because even though it's the 30th day, it might in fact be the 30th day of Adar. And now we can make it into the first day of Adar Beis. In other words, we can add another Adar. But he made a mistake because the halacha is like Shmuel. And Shmuel, who's again way later than Chizkio, but the concept of Shmuel was already known. Again, Chizkio didn't have it, but finally they taught him this very abstract principle of Shmuel of Roy, that if it's Roy to be Nisan, then we're not going to be Ma'aber, the Shana is no longer Ibrushan. Okay, Rabosai? So if there are any questions, now's a good time to ask, or again about the schedule, if anybody wants to make it.
Can you do the schedule again?